Well, good morning. Great to have you here. Welcome online too. What a beautiful moment that was. I'm not quite sure what you carried in to church with you this morning, but I hope that that moment made you feel a little lighter. I hope that that moment reminded you that you actually have a soul and God loves you. You are really precious in His sight. And whatever you've carried in today with you, God wants you to share that burden with Him. In our What Now series, looking at this topic, rest, it's very important. God rested on the seventh day of creation. He's built rest into the rhythm of our existence. Rest, it's critical. It's vital for our mental and emotional health. You know, burnout happens when our doing exceeds our being. When your doing exceeds your being, we get exhausted. And disciples of Jesus that are making a difference all around the world, they actually really know how to rest. I don't think you can love a broken world until you first look after your soul first. Let's pray. Our Father God Almighty, we just want to thank you for your wisdom when you created this world. On the seventh day, you rested. I praise you, Father, that as you created us, you knew that we need to sleep. You know that we need to be still. You know that we need our soul to be revived, and in a fallen, broken world, God, I just ask that today, that you would help us to love you with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So help us today, Lord, with whatever we're carrying. Lord, would you help us to assess our soul? And in a really challenging year, Father, would you enable us to find rest and to enter into your rest where we can be revived and renewed so that we can love this broken world that you died for, Jesus. Speak to us, Lord. May we experience a peace and a rest today. In Jesus' name, amen. I think modern life has enormous benefits without a doubt. But I think modern life, it enslaves us, it owns us, and it can suck the very life out of us. I've been listening to the Kerry Newhoff podcast, lots and lots of great reflections on leadership there, and I want to quote Kerry for you. He says this, "Like money, social media is a great servant but a terrible master." I reckon this is can go a little wider when it comes to modern life. Modern life has a lot of benefits, a lot of conveniences. Modern life can be a great servant, but it's also a terrible master. I'm certainly a product of the 90s, and growing up, listening to Pearl Jam was kind of a rhythm of life, really, still do today. I want to quote a song that Eddie Vedder wrote called Society. He's an amazing lyricist. Let me just quote a little bit of this song, Society. "It's a mystery to me." I wish I could sing it, but I'm not going to go there. "It's a mystery to me. We have a greed in which we have agreed. And you think you have more than you need. Until you have it all, you won't be free. Society, you're a crazy breed. When you want more than you have, you think you need. And when you think more than you want, your thoughts begin to bleed. I think I need to find a bigger place. Because when you have more than you think, or you need more space, society, you're a crazy breed." Let's think about some of those lyrics. Just sit in it for a moment. We have a greed in which we have agreed. Until you have it all, you won't be free. And when you think more than you want, your thoughts begin to bleed. There's the restlessness of our soul. Society, you're a crazy breed. I just think for us, COVID may be a pandemic, but no doubt I think our restlessness in our soul, well, that is an epidemic. And this week in the ABC, ran an article on a young GP. I was really interested in this article, Dr. Anna Samecki, who was reflecting on managing stress. She's a young GP, she's a young mum, got one little child, and she was reflecting on the stress of this year as something that she's never experienced before. Check out this quote. The Sydney doctor said that the impact of the pandemic, working from home, being isolated from family and friends, and a growing feeling of fear and uncertainty due to COVID led to a bone-deep exhaustion she struggles to manage. A bone-deep exhaustion. I reckon she's reading some of our mail right now. In all seriousness, who here feels a bone-deep exhaustion? I know I do. What a year. The swings and roundabouts, the challenges that we're faced. And when our struggles compound, I think what we seem to do is we seem to have a default vice or a coping strategy in order to deal with the pain and the bone-deep exhaustion. Our soul, when it doesn't rest, it becomes incredibly troubled. And our coping strategies aren't always healthy for us. I'd like to point out, as I see it, three unhelpful coping strategies when we experience a bone-deep exhaustion. And the way I see it, it's this. We use alcohol to numb the feelings of exhaustion. And we think that that brings a short-term relief, but unfortunately, the pain increases, the pit becomes deeper and blacker, and it rarely delivers what it says it will. Another coping strategy, if somebody comes to me as a pastor and says that I'm struggling with pornography, that my response isn't to cut that person off or just say, you need to change your behavior. This is my initial response. Wow, I can see that you've developed a coping strategy to deal with the exhaustion and the pain. First of all, you know, that coping strategy is going to lead to more pain. Are you okay? That's my first response as a pastor. Are you okay? And I reckon the third for me, as I see it, is our need for this device here, our mobile phones. Without a doubt, the excessive use of our phones, I think, tries to cover up some of the bone-deep exhaustion with filling us with what we see on our screens. I mean, this is rough statistics, but 58% of people seem to not go 1 hour without touching their phones. In fact, 59% of people check their emails as it comes in. 89% check it daily on a vacation. I believe this one. Teenagers, 80% sleep with their phones. 84% of people believe they couldn't go one day without their phones. Is that pretty true? One day. Could you last one day without your phone? It's interesting because counselors have actually named this condition nomophobia, which is an anxiety produced by not having your phone. Legit, nomophobia. An anxiety produced by not having your phone. Let me ask you, how many of you, the last thing you go to bed is to check your phone, and the first thing you do when you wake up is to check your phone? Am I touching a raw nerve here? Because that's probably preaching it myself right now. When we're glued to our phones as much as we are, how does our soul rest? But what's your coping strategy? I've just named three. Three in a sea of coping strategies. What's your coping strategy? I think most of our coping strategies are fairly unhealthy. They actually lead to more pain and more restlessness and more struggle. This week, across my desk came two incidences of self-harm, two families that are grieving. It's not a joke. Our restlessness is a serious issue. And if that's you this morning, I'd love to start a conversation with you. I want to encourage you to reach out to your GP. I'd love for you to be able to put your hand up and say, you know, I need help. It's not the best option, even though it's an option. There are other options than just self-harm. But that's where our restlessness ultimately can lead us to. And I don't want to stand up here and make it all sound fluffy and funny, because it's serious when our soul doesn't get the rest it needs. And we experience a bone-deep exhaustion. I would suggest that nearly everyone in our culture would acknowledge that our bodies need rest. And I'm going to argue that our soul needs rest. We need to be able to disconnect long enough from our virtual world so that we can experience peace and solitude in the presence of God, who created us to know Him, who wants to daily walk with us, where we can intimately experience His ongoing presence in us, to enter into God's rest. Even though I think our coping strategies, they certainly create neural pathways in our brains, which we just call habits, right? Strong habits that we keep going back to. But I want to make this statement for us today, because if I don't believe in this statement, I'm just going to get off the stage right now. I wholly believe in this statement. Christ in me is bigger than any hold over me. Do you believe that? Because when you're in the midst of a coping strategy that's unhealthy, the lure to keep going back seems a lot stronger than anything else in life. But I firmly believe that Christ in me is bigger than any hold over me. And that's the good news today. I want you to know that, and I trust that this can be your lived experience with God. Christ in you is bigger than any hold over you, and that's the freedom in Christ that we celebrate today. God's got a rest for you, a special rest. This rest is available to your soul right now at home, wherever you find yourself watching for us here, there is a rest for you to enter into right now, not tomorrow, not in an hour's time, but there is a rest for you to enter into now. It's available to you right now. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9-11 says this: "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their work, just as God did from His when He created the universe. Let us therefore make every effort to enter into that rest." It's not rocket science, it's practical. Make every effort to enter into God's rest. There is something for us to tangibly do today to enter into God's rest. It sounds great, doesn't it? God's rest. But how do we find it? Where is it? What do we do? Well, St. Augustine, one of the early church shapers, said this: "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our soul is restless until it finds rest in you." Just digest that for a few moments, especially the last part. Our soul is restless until it finds rest in you, O Lord. The restlessness of our soul means that entering to God's rest, I think, becomes really important. I think this is a really critical moment for all of us. No matter what you're carrying today, you may be in an awesome space. That's even more reason to enter into God's rest. A time of worship, a time of dancing before God. But there's also a time to struggle and to ask God why, but to be in His rest and not some other coping strategy that will lead to more pain and more restlessness. No, God has an awesome rest for you, and it's available right now. In our What Now series so far, we've looked at truth, connection, and meaning, which tells me that there is a God-shaped hole in all of us, and it can only find rest and it can only be filled by the very presence of God. We all have a God-shaped hole. We are wired for relationship with God. It can only be filled by His presence. His presence comes into your soul, we experience a rest. I love what Jesus said. I warm to these words. He said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. That's a specially shaped piece of timber that went across two oxen. Normally an older and a younger oxen would plow the field together. And what Jesus is saying is, come alongside of me, be yoked to me, be saddled to me, be side by side with me. Jesus says, I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart. And if you are side by side with me, you will find rest. You know, sometimes as a parent, I try to be good on my word. You know, mean what you say what you mean. I want my kids to grow up to say, yeah, when dad said something, he followed through, but I'm not perfect. Not like God. When Jesus says these words, and you will find rest for your souls, he's the promise keeper, my friend. But you have to be saddled up alongside Jesus. You have to be willing to really walk alongside of him. He says, I'm gentle and humble in heart. I'm not a cruel slave driver. I know the kind of rest that you need. God's like, I know you so much better than you know yourself, because when you didn't have any consciousness, and when life that starts at conception, I knew you then. I wove you together. I knew you before you even had consciousness. I know what you need. I know how banged up you've been by this world. But if you come to me, you walk alongside of me, Jesus says, I will give you rest. I've got two practical applications for us today. How do we find the rest? I've got two applications. The first is this: be still. We need to learn to be still in the presence of God. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. I think that's incredibly hard. In our world that has a lot of distractions and a lot of noise, and this is probably the biggest distraction that we have that makes being still before God nearly impossible. So how do we do it? Be still before God. It's a challenge. I mean, I look at my three boys, and I know that boys, you know, they certainly develop by fidgeting a lot, especially my eight-year-old. It's a classic watching him. When we do home readers, no joke, he can't sit still to read his book. He's like slipping down, he's over, he's up. Legit, Micah reads by walking up and down the hallway. Like, he can't sit still. Even when he has his meal, every so often, he can't even sit and eat his meal. He'll have one leg down, he'll put one foot on the chair and be eating. And I'm like, Micah, are you serious? I said, would you sit down? Be still, my son. And I think, wow, that's a metaphor for me. What a classic. It is so hard to be still. The moment we think silence, we think still, silence, oh, we're just going to get filled with, what are we doing next? What are we going to do? How are we going to overcome this problem? Who can just go and be silent? What does it look like to be still? How do we actually put this into action in our life? Psalm 131, verse 2. But I have stilled and quieted my soul. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Do you notice something really practical that's happening here? Just look at the first part of the verse. I have stilled and quieted my soul. It's an act that this psalmist has chosen to do. He has chosen to think his way into solitude. It is a choice that he's actually made, like a weaned child. That's a beautiful poetic imagery that talks about contentment, rest. But the psalmist says, I have stilled and quieted my soul. For me, personally, what I've actually done, and if there's ever a time to pull out your phones in the middle of a sermon, it's probably right now, or at home if you want to pull out your phone. A free app, I downloaded this app called the 1 Minute Pause. John Eldridge, he's an awesome author. He's just released a book called Get Your Life Back. And he's, along with this book, has released this app called the 1 minute pause. It starts off with a 1 minute, then you progress to the 3 minute and the 5 minute. Now, right now, I'm doing the 10 minute pause. One of the reasons why I love about this is that it actually has Bible readings, it has some breathing, it has prayers. But what John Eldridge has introduced me to is this really, really important idea of benevolent detachment. Benevolent being kind, kindness, detachment, which is really about having some healthy distance. Being kind to your soul by detaching from everything that entangles. And this 10-minute pause, and I just encourage you, download this app, catch up with me to do the 10-minute pause. And I believe that this has been so practical into being still before God. It's been revolutionary for me. I've been doing it for about 3 months now. And in this space, man, my soul rests. I get it a little bit more about what it means to enter into God's rest and to actually make that choice. Could you do that? 10 minutes. Just 10 minutes. Work your way up. It's like riding a bike. But this idea of benevolent detachment, I want to unpack a little bit because I think it's really important. Because when events take place in our life, we carry those feelings. And the longer we carry those feelings, the more I believe we make choices around unhealthy coping strategies to deal with the bone-deep exhaustion. Benevolent detachment is an incredible idea to enter into God's rest. This is what John Eldridge says in explaining. He says, benevolent detachment means getting untangled, stepping out of the quagmire. It means peeling apart the Velcro by which this person, relationship, crisis, or global issue has attached itself to you. But when we look at what Jesus did, he was able to really practice this benevolent detachment. Sorry, I went one slide ahead. But in Mark chapter 1, we read this. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone's looking for you!" Jesus replied, "Let's go somewhere else." I love it. Jesus models a freedom of heart that I think everybody would love to have. His ability to disengage from this world, oh, it's so alluring. In order to enter into God's rest, we must learn how to create a healthy distance between ourselves and the things that we have become entangled with. It's about being kind to your soul. It's about having some healthy distance from the things that entangle, because that healthy distance is where we find rest. Does that make sense? Because it's really important to rest. In the 1 minute pause, what John Eldridge actually does, he just asks a simple question around benevolent detachment. What do you need to let go of? So there's some breathings, some scripture readings, then there's a question. What do you need to let go of? In the 10-minute pause, you just get some space. The Holy Spirit brings a lot of stuff up in that moment. And it's awesome. When you name before God what you need to let go of, your soul starts to rest. And then he has this awesome prayer. It just says, God, I give everyone and everything to you, Lord. I give everyone and everything to you, Lord. When you can name what you need to let go of and then pray that prayer, your soul gets a little lighter. You experience a rest. It's beautiful. It is what Hebrews is talking about. It is the experience of the psalmists of being still and know that I am God. And I've got to say, it's energy for your day to trust God with what's entangled into your soul. My challenge is to you to catch up. Catch up. The 10-minute pause. The second is this, make a plan. Proverbs 13, verse 16 says this, "A wise person thinks ahead. A fool does not and even brags about it." A wise person thinks ahead. We make a plan. There will always be another option to not be still before God. There will always be a distraction. The psalmist in 131 says, "I have stilled and quieted my soul." He made a choice. We need to make a plan. A wise person thinks ahead. Here's a plan. Choose a time, choose a place, and stick to it. Choose a time, choose a place, and stick to it. For me, it's certainly in the mornings. Sometimes it's in the middle of walking my dog very early in the morning. I just sit in a park. Faithful little dog just sits alongside me, and I'll do the 10-minute pause there. Or it'll be before the walk, just in the backyard. It's in the morning. It's either in a park, in my backyard, and I stick to it. That's how we make a plan. Choose a place, choose a time, and stick to it. Because if we don't do that, if you don't make a contract with your own soul, you're just going to be distracted and you're going to continue to be restless. And I guarantee you, if you don't enter into God's rest, you'll find a coping strategy to find the rest you're looking for. And if it's not God, it's going to bring more pain. I don't want you to be in more pain. We want you to know the rest that God has for you. Build on that. Build on that with Scripture. We say it all the time, memory verses. I've been doing Titus chapter 2. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all people, teaching us to say no to ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, as we wait for our blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus, who gave himself for us to save us from all wickedness, to purify for himself a people eager to do what is good." It took quite a few weeks to get that into my soul. But when I'm walking in the morning, I just say that aloud. When a desire comes up for an unhealthy coping strategy, I say that verse. It's a sword, man. Seriously, it's a sword. The Word of God's powerful. It just cuts that temptation in half. But you know what I feel right now? We're like, yeah, too much work. How many of us do memory verses? And why not? I know I'll move on to a different memory verse. But you've got to remember the Word of God, building on being still before God. The Spirit will speak to you in powerful ways. You'll know the rest of God by putting His Word in your heart and His soul. I want to finish on this. I deliberately didn't want to just finish on a story. I want to finish on the Word of God. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, check this out. This is what the Lord says. "Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you'll find rest for your souls." This is what God says to you today. Stand at the crossroads. Some of us are at the crossroads right now, and you're experiencing a bone-deep exhaustion. Life has been hard for you this year. And no one knows it better than God. Ask for the ancient paths. What if the ancient paths of being still before God, of drawing on His Word, on making a plan, choosing a place and sticking to it, what if those ancient paths actually brought you the rest you're looking for? Ask the good way. Be still. Know that God is your creator. Walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. When we're still and we know that God is God, you'll experience His love. And there is no one more deserving of all our worship than our Creator. Come into His rest. Put down other coping strategies. Come into His rest. And you'll find a life that you're longing for. Let me pray. Our Father, we just want to thank You so much that You know the good way. You want us to walk in the good way. Lord, some of us, I feel, are at the crossroads right now. And Father, we have chosen unwise coping strategies to deal with the exhaustion and the fear and the pain and the worry. And God, they've become habits, and habits are hard to break. But I want to praise You that You have sent Your Son and breathed Your Spirit in us. And You, Jesus, You are bigger than any hold over us. So I just pray, Father, for my brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would experience Your grace again, that we would enter into Your rest by being still, that we would allow Your word again to consume our heart and our mind, and that, Father, that we would experience that rest that we're longing for. When you take this moment before God, let me ask you, what do you need to let go of? What's entangling your soul right now? What's worrying you the most? What unhealthy coping strategy have you got right now to deal with your pain and exhaustion? And just tell God, be honest with Him. Cry out to God. You pray this with me. Lord, I give everyone and everything to You. Lord, I give everyone and everything to You. Come into His rest for You. His face is shining on you right now. Spirit, breathe in us a rest. Help us, Lord Jesus, to look after and take care of our own soul. For we do want to love this broken world. Help us, Lord, to take care of ourselves. We need You, God. We need Your rest. In Jesus' name. Thank you.